Chapter 21. Myra's silver station wagon had heated up in the sun, so they left the doors open to let the hot air out. Along with it came the smell of naga hide and French fries. Sorry, my last ride wanted me to go through the drive-thru. Myra bent into the car and pulled out a thin red cardboard French fry holder, then shoved it into a trash bag she kept in the front. She hopped in and started the engine. We'll let the air conditioning run for a few minutes. Lexi leaned against the car, the heat of the metal burning through her shorts. She glanced back at the Stoddard's condo. She didn't want to leave. She wanted to get more evidence on Joe, but she wasn't sure how to handle Myra. If they told her, she might not believe them and might go to Joe. She could be in danger. Not to mention that snapping pictures through the windows wasn't going to fly with her standing there watching them. It was probably best that they take the evidence of the drill and the gloves back to Jack. But with her car dead and her cell phone dead, the only way to do that was Myra. Lexi jumped into the passenger seat, and Nance, Ida, Ruth, and Helen all climbed into the back seat, giving Lexi looks in the rearview mirror as Myra sat behind the wheel. "You know," Ida started, "the real reason we were lurking behind your building is because..." "Ow!" Nance elbowed Ida in the side, then shot Lexi a warning look in the rearview mirror. "Keep your mouth shut about Joe," it screamed, as effectively as if her grandmother had shouted the words aloud. Right, it wouldn't be smart to say anything. Myra was his wife and probably wouldn't believe them. Worse, she might warn Joe and blow the whole case. Lexi gave a short nod, then clicked her seatbelt into place.
"Where am I taking you?"
Myra asked. "Oh, the police station on Cross Street," Lexi said, giving her a polite smile. Myra looked wary.
"The police? Is there something going on I should know about?"
Lexi opened her mouth to answer, only to be jarred by a rough kick to the back of her seat, courtesy of Nance. She gave her grandmother a quick glance in the rearview mirror, then continued,
No. No trouble. My husband works there, and he'll give me a ride to get my car fixed."
"Right."
Myra stared at Lexi a second longer than normal before shifting the giant silver station wagon into drive.
"Your husband's a police officer. Great. Okay, then. Let's go."
As they drove through the sun-dappled streets of Brook Ridge Falls, Lexi and the ladies did their best to keep the small talk flowing, and Myra distracted from asking any more questions.
"Lovely weather we're having," Helen said, patting her hairspray-lacquered coiffure.
Neither heat nor wind nor any mighty gust would disturb that helmet hair.
"Yeah, drives my allergies nuts, though," Ida chimed in. "Remind me to take another pill when we get back to the retirement center."
"Will do." Nance leaned forward to tap Lexi on the shoulder.
"Do you have a tissue, dear?"
"Oh, let me look." As Lexi rifled through her purse, she couldn't help stealing glances at Myra through her lashes. The woman had remained oddly quiet since Lexi had mentioned Jack was a police officer. Fine lines of tension now marked the corners of her mouth, too. Did Myra know about her husband's illegal activity? A twinge of pity shot through her. If so, then that sort of put them in the same boat, didn't it? Little did poor Myra know she was driving them to have Joe arrested. At least, that was Lexi's plan, anyway. Between Nan's pictures of the drill and the white gloves, that should be enough to at least bring the man in for questioning, anyway. Still, the connection she now felt for Myra, given both of their husbands' hidden secrets, had her wanting to know more about their marriage. She pulled the tissue out of the plastic pack in her purse and handed it to Nance, then turned to Myra once more. "How long has Joe worked with Rare Coins?" Several gasps issued from the back, followed by another hard kick to the back of her seat. Lexi gripped the dashboard tight and frowned at her grandmother in the rearview mirror.
Myra shrugged, seemingly oblivious to the undercurrent of tension in the air. Not that long, really. A couple of years at the most. Once he retired, it took him a while to settle on a hobby he liked. Good timing, too, considering he was about to drive me nuts with all his sitting around and moping. Myra snorted. Heck, some days, I almost wished he'd have an affair or something just to get him out of the house.
Lexi's grip on the strap of her purse tightened. She and Jack sometimes got on each other's nerves, but she'd never, ever wished for him to stray. Her frown deepened.
Has Joe ever come across any cool coins while making his jewelry?
They slowed for a red light, at my return to give Lexi an odd look.
What exactly do you mean by cool?
Oh, nothing. Lexi did her best to pretend the question was entirely casual. Not exactly easy to do, given all four ladies in the back seat were now leaning forward to peer at them around the headrests as if hanging on Myra's every word.
I didn't mean anything specific, since I know so little about coins. She gave a small chuckle.
I've just heard that some can be quite rare or valuable, at least from what I've read.
The light turned green, but Myra didn't move, her placid expression turning hard and cold. You heard that argument in front of our condo the other day, didn't you?
It wasn't really a question. Heat prickled Lexi's cheeks as Myra's gaze narrowed. Was she asking out of embarrassment or something else entirely?
Lexi took a deep breath and tried to explain herself without giving away too much.
We were just walking down the street and saw Joe with that other man. Their voices were a bit loud, so unfortunately we couldn't really help overhearing. Sorry. But don't worry. I know how disagreeable customers can be sometimes.
Honestly, she didn't. Her customers had never been anything but sweet and kind. In fact, if anyone had been that angry about their purchase, Lexi would have been mortified. Still, she'd started this ruse, and now she needed to run with it. She cleared her throat before continuing.
Believe me, with running the bakery, I see people get nasty with each other all the time. They accuse each other of all kinds of awful things.
A horn honked behind them, and Myra reluctantly turned forward again, her movements more deliberate now as they made a right turn onto Elm Street.
Lexi frowned. I think you've gotten your locations mixed up, Myra. The police station is on Cross Street. You should have taken Maple, not Elm.
Oh, it is, Myra said, her tone sticky sweet.
She put on her signal again and made another sharp right, sending the ladies in the back seat tumbling to one side.
I must have misheard you. I guess I'll just go around the block then and head back the way we came from.
Dear, Nance tapped on Lexi's arm again, distracting her. You might want to look at Ruth's wrist.
Lexi did so. Ruth was wearing the charm bracelet she'd gotten from the jeweler earlier that day, big deal. She'd already said the valuable coin wasn't on there, so why was Nance calling attention to... Oh, wait. The bracelet had all the coins, none missing. Which meant the coin the police had found wasn't from Ruth's bracelet. Her heart skipped a beat. So if the coin near the murder victim hadn't been from Ruth, then...
What's going on back there?
Myra asked, swerving to miss a squirrel darting across the road. The tires squealed and Lexi's eyes widened. They were going way too fast for this residential street, and the jarring moves caused the entire vehicle to shudder and sway from side to side. The ladies in the back took the brunt of it, with Myra and Lexi secured in place with the seatbelts. Still, stuff was jangling and rustling about, including all of Myra's jewelry, dangly earrings, and a flashy copper-colored charm bracelet.
Weird how Ruth's bracelet isn't missing a charm, huh? Ida mused from the back seat, as if reading Lexi's thoughts. Ow! Why do you...
Shh! Nan said, her tone stern.
Just hang on and try not to squish me any more than you already have.
Soon, Myra zoomed out of Brook Ridge Falls proper and jerked hard to the left, tearing down a deserted dirt road. The sudden movement caused the visor above Lexi's head to dip precariously, and a paper fluttered out to land in her lap.
"Pardon me for saying so, Myra, but maybe you should slow down a bit," Helen said loudly from the back seat.
Myra didn't answer, just kept barreling down the dirt road at top speed. Lexi's stomach nosedived to her toes, and she glanced at the paper. It was a hospital bill for Joe. According to the document, he'd had hernia surgery the week prior and had just been released Monday night. Even if he was the fastest healer in the world, today was only Thursday. Sherman Wilson had been killed early Tuesday morning. No way could he have murdered that man in such a violent and bloody fashion without significant injury to himself, which meant it had to have been another person, someone else who had access to those coins and the tools Joe used to make his jewelry. Her gaze flew to Myra's wrist again, where her charm bracelet still jangled merrily against the steering wheel. A charm bracelet made of coins, just like Ruth's. A charm bracelet with an empty slot where a missing charm should go. Nance leaned in again, her gaze darting from Lexi to Myra's wrist, then back again, as they pulled into a secluded area of woods, so far off the beaten path it was unlikely anyone would find them, until it was too late. Myra cut the engine, and quiet descended upon them as Nance whispered in Lexi's ear, "Maybe getting a ride wasn't such a good idea after all, eh?"